Hope you all are doing well this morning on this day in which we, this weekend in which we remember Memorial Day. In the first service, we were talking a little bit about how, in many ways, we kind of bring together and conflate Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and All Saints Day as kind of one, kind of a broad piece. On Memorial Day, we especially remember those folks who made the ultimate sacrifice, who gave their lives, so that all of us might have the freedoms that we enjoy. But we also want to acknowledge in our midst that those who served in the military, they certainly gave an ultimate sacrifice as well. We know that there was great hardship and struggle and suffering in military service, and so wanting to acknowledge that. And so we are grateful for the military veterans who stood up amongst us, and for those family members who are also related to those who have served in the military as well. And then as we kind of draw that out and are thankful for those persons whose lives have given us life, we can't help but remember the saints of our lives. And so then it goes beyond just military service to remember on Memorial Day folks that we love, who blessed us, who shaped us, whose lives were influential in shaping us and making us who we are. And so on Memorial Day, sometimes on the weekend, we sometimes will do that as well, as we'll remember and memorialize those folks that we love and who are no longer with us. Giving thanks for all the ways that their sacrifice and their lessons, the life lessons that they've taught us, have enabled us to experience such great fullness in this life. Remembering is such a very important thing, isn't it? One of the things that we are gifted with is the power to remember. This ability to have memory is such a wonderful and important thing. And I think that's one of the reasons why people who suffer from memory issues as they grow older, that's such a difficult thing to manage, because we see that a part of themselves seems to be going away. We know that their memories are still inside them, and yet their ability to articulate those memories sometimes gets cut off. And so sometimes losing that ability to remember, it is such a difficult thing for us. In a biblical sense, remembering is even more important, because why God encourages the people of Israel and the people, the biblical people, to remember their story, because it is an important part of how God has been with them throughout their life journey. In the Old Testament, especially in Exodus and Deuteronomy, it is really clear by Moses that the people of God should always remember. But remembering is more than just something that they do as a mental exercise. It's not something they just think about, but it's something that they speak about. It's something that they convey to others. It's something that they relive again. And they do that not just by storytelling, but also by ritual. They create rituals that enable them to tell the stories of their life journey. And God encourages them to do this because it enables them to remember who they are. As the people of Israel were enslaved in Egypt and believed that God would come to save them and liberate them from slavery in Egypt and bring them to the promised land, as God did that, as God brought them to the Red Sea and opened the sea that they might pass through and go on a journey that would lead them to the promised land, they were told to remember, but to tell that story over and over and over and over again, because that story shaped the lives of themselves and their children. And their children would not be able to know and fully understand themselves if they would not tell those stories. And so the people of Israel are encouraged to continue to tell those stories. And I'm mindful that that is something that we are encouraged to do in this life as well, is to remember and to give thanks. We create sometimes family rituals, and we are told to share the stories of our own lives, and how powerful it is for us to be able to do that. But the thing that's most interesting, I think, when we talk about it in this context, is that when we are encouraged to tell the stories of our life, it's easy for us to remember the good stories, the stories that are pleasant and wonderful and joyful, things that convey a sense of God's presence and blessing in our lives. And we are so easy for us to share those stories with others because they're so pleasant and so wonderful to be able to recount times of love and joy and hope and peace, times when we've experienced the gift of family and the gift of the blessings that we've received. It's so easy for us to convey those stories. But I think equally, one of our human tendencies is to downplay or to set aside sometimes the stories that are more painful. Those stories are not as easy to tell. And it's a natural human occurrence in our own minds. Those stories, they caused us pain. We've experienced brokenness because of those stories. We've experienced longing and loss. And so sometimes we downplay those stories because it's so difficult to convey them to other people. And in many ways, we are challenged to think about it on an equal plane, that somehow we might be able to share even those painful stories And know that they are a part of making us who we are as well. When I was a kid, when I was a child, my father as a young child was taken to incarceration camp during World War II. And I didn't know much about it, of course, as a young child. And I am like most Japanese American kids. We tended to learn about the incarceration when we had to do a report in school and needed somebody to tell us about camp so that we might be able to convey it in a report. And so rather than looking in the Encyclopedia Britannica, which we did when we were younger in those days, you would ask your parent about it. But when I would ask my father about it, he wouldn't tell me much about it. And in most cases, he was 13 years old when he went to camp. Most of the time when he tells those stories, he conveys it in the context of the fact that it was fun. So he would tell stories about how he and his friends had no responsibilities, no chores, no nothing. They just went and ran around all day long. They did go to school, but when they were with their friends in school, they were away from their parents, and so they were just having a great time. When they went into the mess hall, they didn't always eat with their families, and families were separated, and they would gather together with their friends. And so he would always convey it in this almost like joyful, playful kind of way. He would tell me stories about how he and his friends used to run around. And it wasn't until later that he actually told me that on the day after Pearl Harbor, his father was picked up by the FBI for having donated some money to a ship that came into the port from Japan. It was a common thing in those days, I think, for families to donate just a few dollars to support a ship that came into the port from Japan. And so he would donate money. And so my grandfather's name appeared on a manifest where they listed all the people who had made those donations. And so as soon as the FBI got a hold of that list, the first thing they did was they picked up people like my grandfather. They picked up pastors and priests, they picked up teachers, language school teachers, they picked up folks who were in the community. But that wasn't a story that my father told me. And when I asked him about it, he said to me, you know, I never wanted to tell you that story. The reason why is because I didn't want you ever to be bitter. I didn't want you to be angry. And I wanted you to be able to access all of the blessings and the fruitfulness that this life here in this country are afforded to you. And what I want you to do is I want you to think positively about this country, and I want you to live in those days. But the thing that was interesting was that after he told me that, it reshaped me in a way that was really interesting, because I started to look at my life through the eyes of a person who had gone through this experience. And that in some ways wouldn't tell me the hard parts of it. But when I got him to tell me the harder parts of it, it enabled me to really understand myself in a way that I had not understood myself before. My father was a part of what was called the silent generation, and so one of the things that we were taught was never to speak out against authority when authority said to do certain things. We were always supposed to go through our struggles and our sufferings in a very quiet way and not argue and complain about them. We weren't to make a big fuss. I remember once when my cousin died, my father was upset at me that I displayed outwardly emotion about that. And he said to me, you know, you're not supposed to do that because it's embarrassing to the people around you. I thought it was such an interesting thing. My father would teach me these life lessons, but when I saw them through the eyes of a person who had been incarcerated during World War II and kept silent, it taught me a lot about who I was as a person. And I wished he would have shared those stories with me, but in many ways, he thought that they would create in me a sense of anger for the pain that he had suffered. But in reality, hearing those stories was so very important. And I think that's really what the psalmist is doing in the scripture reading this morning. Psalm 34 is written in the middle of the psalm, around verse 11, I think it is. It uses the terminology, you know, oh child, listen to me. I think that this psalm is an instruction piece that a father is giving to a child or to a grandchild. And it's giving a sense of the span of the person's life and trying to convey to them the ways that God has been present with them throughout their life journey. And so in many ways, it does do what I talked about, and that is that it talks about God in the context of how God is present with the righteous, how it is that those who have experienced the full blessings of God have known that God has been a part of their journey. But then, in parts of the psalm, it talks about it in another context, and it says that God is with those who are longing and who are broken and who are fearful and who are hurt. And that as he tells that story, he wants them to know that as much as God is with them in the joyful experiences, God is also with them in the painful ones. And that God is in the midst of their lives trying to deliver them from the pain and the brokenness that they are experiencing. And that in being able to convey that to the children, that they might know the stories of pain that have made them who they are, but they are able to find that God is even in them, with them in the midst of the pain and the struggle and the suffering that they are going through. In the midst of their own sinfulness, he speaks about the ways that they have fallen short. Even there, God is with them to try to liberate them from their failings and their flaws. And so in the psalm, there's this sense that the psalmist wants to give to his children and grandchildren the full picture of their lives. Both those places where they are experiencing great joy and where God was with them in every sense of that word of hope and peace and love, that God has been there with them. But God has also been with them in their struggles and their sufferings and their brokenness and their longing and their loss. And it has been God who has journeyed with them to guide them through those dark times, to lead them into the light and lead them to the promised land. That message is conveyed to the children because the psalmist knows that there will be a day when their children will experience that darkness. There will be a day when their children will experience brokenness and loss and longing and pain. And when they ask the question, where is God in the midst of all of that? The psalmist hopes that his children and grandchildren will be able to say, God is with us, even when we don't feel God's presence. The psalmist wants his children to be able to say, even when we are experiencing loss and don't know where to go next, God is going to show us the way. And we will continue to hope in the Lord. We will continue to trust that God is leading us, even when we don't feel God present. And I think that is really a strong encouragement for us as we think about how we convey our story to others. Now, as I'm telling this story upstairs in the service where there are many seniors in the worship service, they're thinking about it as children and grandchildren as they come to the end of their life journey and think about how they want to convey their story to their children. But I don't think this is a testimony just for older people. I think that's a testimony for all of us. It's a testimony for those of you who have children who are young children in elementary school or and who are teenagers. For those of you who have children who are going into college and getting ready to leave, to go away from you, and who are going to experience life as they go forth to broaden their horizons. What is it that you have told them that would undergird them when life gets hard? When they struggle and they suffer and are looking for some sense of connection? What is it that you conveyed through your story and the way that you have experienced the presence and the power of God? It's important for us to convey how God has been present with us, not just in those joyful times, but also in those times of struggle and suffering. Because there is no doubt, as much as we might want to protect our children from struggle and suffering, they will experience that. They're going to experience those days when they feel like God is absent. They're going to know those days where life is hard. As much as we might want to keep that from them, as much as we might want to give them as much as we can to keep them from that experience, we know for a fact that they will one day experience a moment when they wonder and ask the question, where is God in all of this? And my prayer is that we will have told them our story about the way that God has been with us in those high and holy moments, it is true, but also how God has been with us in those times when we have struggled and felt deep pain and brokenness and longing and loss, and that God has guided us through those moments, moved us through those difficult days, those moments when we, like the people of Israel, experienced a wilderness, and know that God is moving us forward to lead us to that promised land. It's a challenge for us because I know that I've in working with some of the parents who have children and teenagers, you sit them down and you say, I want to tell you something, and they're not listening to you. They're all over the place and their minds are all over. But there will come moments in their lives when they open up. So when they open up, be ready to share it with them. It's not always in the busyness of our days and all the things that are going on in our lives. And I tell you that if you try to sit them down, they're probably going to start wriggling around and want to move away from you pretty quickly. But it will be in a moment when they are maybe experiencing a struggle themselves. in their own friendships, in their own school, in their friend groups. Maybe it is that that's where a story that you can convey to them will help them to know that they are not alone and that they are still children of God, even in the midst of what they are facing in that particular moment. And so finding a way to communicate that is so very powerful. I know that for a lot of you, as your younger parents, you're thinking to yourself, I have lots of time to do this. But I would tell you that I would guess that if you were to ask the seniors upstairs, they would say the same thing. Oh yeah, we had lots of time to do that. And then days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into months, and months turned into years. And now they come to the end of their lives, and they're longing to share their story with someone. We have our BLT lunch, and we had that a couple of weeks ago. And rather than doing entertainment at this particular BLT lunch, we talked about storytelling. One of the things that's happening in the church is we're starting to gather together the stories of some of our seniors on video so they could talk about their life in this church and their history with this congregation. And so we started talking about storytelling, and I gave them a little handout that told them how to begin to write their story down. And I tell you, the faces were really almost excited. They wanted that paper because they wanted to begin to write down a story that they never really considered sharing. And I told them, you know, I know that you all as seniors tell me that, you know, you don't have a lot of memories left and it's really hard to recall these things. But I tell you that if you start writing, and don't try to write it linear. I told him, don't try to write it as a linear story and start at the first day and go to the last day. I said, just start writing any story that you can remember. I tell you, if you remember those stories and write them down and look to see what you are able to share in the process of telling that story, I said, those stories will flow out of you and it'll be a blessing to your children. So at the end of your life, you'll be able to give them a book. And that book will have the story of your life and the story of your life together with family and church and community and all of the ways that you have experienced the presence and the power of God in the ups and downs of the journey of life that you've been in. I was sitting with a group of nieces, second generation of folks, and they were in a Bible study, and they were talking about money. And in the context of talking about money, they started talking about how they wanted to, how it was that they were working to leave an inheritance for their children. And so they were talking about different ways that they were able to process their savings, and they wanted to pass on to their children as gifts. And, you know, one of the seniors said, you know, I'm going to follow that advice that I've heard that says you should write your last check and it should bounce on the day that you die. And I was like, okay, I don't think your children are going to like that too much. But interestingly enough, I was leading this study, so I thought, I better get it back to where we need to go. So they started talking about money, and I said, you know, I want to ask you a question. What's the spiritual legacy that you're leaving your children? What's the story of faith that you tell them that reminds them that they are children of God, and wherever they go and whatever they experience, they're going to know that God is with them? And he said, what are those stories? And what would you pass on in that way? And of course, they were like, oh, yeah. You know, but in reality, I think as they come to the end of their lives, they realize that they have so much to share, and they don't know yet how to do it. And so my encouragement to them was to write it down. And maybe it is you won't be able to tell the story, but you'll be able to pass it on to your children. Because when you do, I know that it's going to help your children and grandchildren understand their lives more fully. And as they do, my prayer is that they would be able to receive it as a gift and know that there is in that a sense of presence, of the presence of God and the purposes of God. And that you are conveying to them that just as you have been, so are they a part of God's salvation history, a part of God's story. And as a part of God's story, they are able to experience in that the presence and power of God in all things. And so my prayer for all of us this day is that we would take that opportunity. I know that as young families especially, it's hard for us to think, yeah, I got to write this stuff down so my children will have it as an experience. And yet I will tell you that if you begin now, the kinds of stories that you will share, they are going to shape the lives of your children, your grandchildren. It's going to shape the lives of the small group that you participate in the community that you're a part of. Anytime you get a chance to tell that story, not just the joyful and hopeful and stories filled with great promise, but also the stories of struggle and suffering and hardship and brokenness. Because that too reveals the presence of God and how God is with us in every circumstance. And so my prayer is that we would be encouraged, just like the psalmist, to teach the children to taste and see that the Lord is good, and that the Lord is with them in every circumstance. And in this, their lives will receive a gift that will bless them for the rest of their lives. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Gracious God, we are so grateful and thankful for the stories that make us who we are. It's hard for us to imagine that those stories, they have within them such power. But you remind us that you have gifted us with these stories for a reason. That it isn't those stories that we are coming to experience, oh God, the way that you are present amongst us in this life. We have seen your presence, oh God, and your power working when we are experiencing the joy and the hope and the love of our days. When we have experienced the peace and the promise that comes with life together with you. But there are, we would acknowledge, oh God, that there are times in our lives when we face hardship and struggling and suffering, that we wonder where you are. We struggle to understand how you are with us and guiding us. And we wonder how it is that we might come to find the light of a new day. And yet, when we pass through those moments of wilderness, when we pass through the darkness and find the light that you have promised for us, it's important for us to remember that story, to retell and relive that story, because it is that story that enables us, but also our ancestors, our friends of faith, the folks who are a part of our small group, a part of our life journey. We know, oh God, it isn't this that we would experience the fullness of your presence, and that we would be able to tell that story in a way that would shape and change the lives of others. We pray that you bless and be with us in this, O God. Enable us in reflection to think about all that we have experienced in this life, and we pray that you would enable us to move forward in faith and to find a way to share the story that you've given us with others. We pray these things, O God, to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.